Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The San Diego Rescue Mission is impacting San Diego one life at a time. They are addressing the needs of men, women, and children experiencing homelessness by providing a holistic approach to rehabilitation and recovery. Joining us this morning is San Diego Rescue Mission CEO Donnie D. and Rescue Mission Program graduate Lamont Walltower. Welcome, Donnie. Welcome, Lamont.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Let's start with some background information, maybe a little history on the San Diego Rescue Mission, if we could.
You bet. Well, we've been around for a little over 60 years. Back in the 50s, there was a business guy from Sacramento that traveled down to San Diego, saw the need that was on the streets with people who were experiencing homelessness, so he opened up a soup kitchen. And they continued with that soup kitchen for many years. And I guess as the story goes, over time they realized that the needs were much greater than a meal, so the mission became more than a meal. Probably about 25 years ago when we really started getting serious about 12-month rehabilitation. So that's really who we are, what we do. We have 300 people in our building right now that are working on getting their lives back together again, and we like to say that they are putting in the hard work and doing the heavy lifting of rehabilitation.
And is it just homeless or people with addictions as well?
Well, the majority of them, the one common denominator that they have is that they were experiencing homelessness at some level. Now, they may be they may have an addiction, it may be domestic violence, it might be job skills, but the one common denominator is that they were all experiencing homelessness at some level.
And what is the mission at the San Diego Rescue Mission?
Well, the mission is to see God transform lives and experience the people that are experiencing homelessness impacting San Diego one life at a time. And so that's really who we are and what we do. We're a faith-based organization. Our spiritual component is a priority to what we do. And just believe that through rehabilitation and through our spiritual training, we can put people's lives back together again. And we are. We are seeing that all the time.
And as you mentioned, you are a faith-based organization, but your doors are open to anyone?
That's correct. They do have to go to devotions in the morning from 8 to 8:30. We don't beat anybody over the head with the Bible. We're not preaching hellfire and brimstone. We're just teaching God's Word and the principles of the Bible that have proven true for 2,000 years and more. And then they have to go to chapel on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and we really give them a chance to have their own spiritual experience while they're at the mission.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the San Diego Rescue Mission is the only major homeless shelter in San Diego that does not receive government funding?
That's correct. For 60 years, we have raised funds the good old-fashioned way. It's because of people in the community that believe in what we do and have supported us for a number of years. We're actually a $10 million budget annually, and we raise 70% of that through direct mail and then through major donors and monthly donors. Then we have about $2.5 million that we earn through business revenue.
And do you get grants as well?
We do. We get a number of grants. Have a person on our staff that spends all of her time writing grants, soliciting foundations, and trying to secure funding that way as well.
And you serve both adults and children, right?
That's correct. Have about 150 men in our program right now, about 120 women, and then we have an emergency shelter for women and children. Have 19 little kids, ages 18 months to 5 years
wow.
old, that are actually in our preschool. So a lot of people don't know this, but we're a licensed California Christian preschool. Have credentialed teachers and volunteers, and they run that portion of our facility just like they would any other preschool.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about your programs.
Absolutely.
That one well.
Look forward to that.
Where are you guys located?
We're at 120 Elm Street, right in Bankers Hill, off of the 5, not too far from the 163. So sort of the east, kind of the west side of downtown. You probably have been by our building. You just didn't know it was the San Diego Rescue Mission.
And how many people do you serve each year? do you think?
Well, we have a 300 people a night. So how many? Good question. I don't have a handle on that number. 300 a night. Wow. There's many of them are there for all 12 months. We do have some people to leave during the middle of the program. It's part of why I'm so proud of Lamont is that he came to us a year ago. And I know there have been a number of times when he thought about leaving, but he managed to stay and to put in the hard work. And his life is different today because he allowed the 12 months to have its full effect on him and all aspects of the holistic approach that we have to rehabilitation and recovery. So how many we serve throughout the year, it's not a number I have a handle on, but we have about 300 people in our building right now.
And are people referred to you? How does that work?
You know, we have a number of other agencies that will refer clients to us, but most of the people come to us because they're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And to my surprise, I think more people on the streets know what the San Diego Risk Commission is about than our donors and our volunteers do. I think a lot of our donors and our volunteers think we're a soup kitchen or a drop-off facility, and we're really not. We're a 12-month rehabilitation recovery program, and most of the people on the streets know that. They know that we have a lot of rules, and they know that we're very spiritual. So to get to the place to where you're willing to come to us, to get to us, and to go through our intake process to determine if our program's right for you means that they've been willing to accept that we have a lot of rules and we're very spiritual.
Well, speaking of the intake process, what's that like? Maybe Lamont can tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so a lot of times they call in and ask, what does it take to get into the mission? We let them know you need a TB test and then just show up and you can get an interview and set an appointment with our intake manager. Our intake manager sits with you one-on-one and interviews you, walks you through a series of questions to determine if this place is right for you, whether or not you have any type of criminal background, whether or not you've been in the mission before, what is your addiction, do you know what it is that led you to the streets, and then based on that conversation, that interview, he deems whether or not our program is the right fit for you. You have to be able to work to come to the San Diego Rescue Mission, so you have to be physically capable of working. We give you a job on site day one. And what we tell you the very first week is do that job well. Facilities, thrift stores, kitchen, maintenance, do that job well, and we'll put you back in school. And you can get certified in a job skill that will ultimately go on your resume and help you get a job when you get out.
And do you have a waiting list at all for your programs?
We don't have a waiting list. Part of that is we've been keeping our own number of beds a little short of full because we're revamping the program and really trying to become a little more efficient, a little more excellent in what we do. And so here in the next couple of months, we'll actually roll out a different program model, a little different program model than what we've had the last several years.
Now, Lamont, what was that intake process for you? What was that like?
You know, it was overdue. They asked for you to be honest with yourself at the time. Like Mr. D said, what is it that you're looking for? And once you come into the program, like Donnie D said just a second ago, you have to be tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. The invitation was there. The opportunity is there. It's only about, was I ready to make a change in my life? So although it was a little scary at first, to be honest, because you're ready for a change. You just don't know what it entails. How is that going to happen? So there's a little apprehension. But when you're ready, everybody that I came across, from the intake manager to the staff that I met soon afterwards, it was very comforting. It was very loving, and it eases your apprehension. So it was a nice intake process for me.
Lamont really touched on something there that we think is fundamental to how we do things at the mission. That is, this has got to be something that he wants. We can't want it more than he wants it. And that's one of the, you know, really one of the strategies behind dealing with somebody that has an addiction is that we can't want it more than you want it. But if you want this, if you really want a new life, everything's here at the mission to get you off the streets. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and it's going to take probably most of the 12 months, but if you're willing to put in the work, we'll do everything we can to help you succeed.
Yeah, I've said that before on this program when we've talked about addictions, and you really have to want it yourself. I'm a recovering alcoholic over 30 years, and you have to want to do it.
It's
got to come from you first.
That's right.
Before you go for the help, you've got to really be dedicated to that recovery.
And I think that's a part of why those boundaries, being spiritual, being that we have a lot of rules and you have to get your TB test first before you show up at the mission. I mean, there's a number of things that have to happen first for that person to even get to the mission. And I think they have to do a lot of soul searching to decide whether or not this is something they really want. Mm-hmm. So by the time they show up, I think they're at a place where they're willing to receive some help and some coaching.
Now, you mentioned that your programs incorporate a holistic approach to recovery. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means?
Yeah, so we believe a number of these people have been through trauma, that are experiencing homelessness, have been through trauma as a kid. They've been through trauma with death in their family. A number of them have issues with addiction. Domestic violence is a big one with our ladies. Sometimes it's job skills. Sometimes it's life skills. Sometimes they haven't finished their high school education. And a part of what we do is when we take them in, is that they're assigned a client advocate, which is essentially a case manager. Mm-hmm. That case manager's job is to build a program around what it is that's going on in your heart that's led you to life on the street. So when we say holistic, we think that's spiritual, that's relational, that's financial. That's medical. We have Mission Fitness on the first floor where they can work out and kind of get themselves back in shape again. And we just believe all of that is necessary and all of that is available at San Diego Rescue Mission for you to address what's going on in your heart.
Now you have several residential programs. Let's start with the men's.
Yeah, we have two residential programs, one for the men and then the other is for the women and children, which we call Haven of Hope.
Okay, so let's start with the men's residential program. Tell us a little bit more about it. I know you've touched on it a little bit already.
Yeah. It's our biggest program and the one that has the most staff. There's about 150 men that are in that program. They're on two full floors at the San Diego Rescue Mission. A lot of people don't know, but we have a 100,000 square foot facility, which used to be the Harborview Hospital, and we've broken up those floors, divided those floors by programs. So the first floor has a number of administrative things. Second floor is where we eat and have a few beds there, but primarily the third and fourth floors are the men's center, the fifth floor is the women's center, and then the sixth floor is our transitional housing program. Third and fourth floor is where our men are housed. They're usually in a room with two bunk beds, so there's four to a room. I think one of the things that makes our facility so perfect for what we're doing is that every room has a private bathroom. And why that's important is we really just believe that it gives these clients a chance to kind of focus on themselves. It's not a big warehouse full of bunk beds. Mm-hmm. And then you're outside showering in portables. You really have a chance to kind of work on yourself and what's going on in your life. That men's program has job training. That men's program has life skills. That men's program has drug and alcohol recovery classes. And that men's program, each of the clients are working their program prescribed by their case manager or what we call a client advocate.
And you offer education classes too, right?
We do.
Within that program.
We do. It used to be mandatory that if you didn't have your high school diploma, then that's one of the things you had to do as a part of your program with us. And just got to the place you realize, again, whether you're talking about drug and alcohol recovery or you're talking about your high school diploma, if it's not something that you want, you're not going to put in the work to do it. So we made that optional. We do think it's helpful for when you get out and you're trying to get a job that you mm-hmm. at least have that education established. And most of them, it's rare that we have a client that doesn't have a high school education, but occasionally it happens. And when we do have a client that hasn't completed that level of education, we give them the opportunity to do that as a part of their program.
And with the job training, do you help people find a job when they graduate out?
We do. That's mostly their responsibility, but through our client advocate and through our program directors. I'll be with a very successful business guy on Friday who has a car dealership, a number of them. And we have one of our clients that's graduating in the fall that spent 20 years in the car business. So, we connect our clients where we can, but mostly what we're giving them is training and then an opportunity to have a resume that'll make it easier for them to go out and get a job.
So again, it's a 12-month program.
That's correct.
So they stay within that program for the full 12 months.
Yeah, it could last a few months longer. We've got clients that have finished sooner. There are steps in each of the phases. Uh-huh. It's a four-phase program for the Men's Center and for the Women's Center, Haven of Hope. And you can go as fast or as slow as your pace. It has to be close to a year. It's not going to be much more than a year.
Right.
Because we're moving you on, and we got other people that we're trying to get in the program. And on occasion, there's a few clients that have been able to finish their program in less than 12 months.
And then your Women and Children's Center, also a 12-month program.
It is, and that's about 100 women, 120 counting kids. And they're mostly on the fifth floor. We have some beds on the second floor, and they run it very similar to the Men's Center in terms of it's a holistic approach. The men and the women all go to devotions in the morning at 8 o'clock. They go to chapels on Wednesday night and Sunday nights, and then we build the job training, the domestic violence, the drug and alcohol recovery, the life skills. They have opportunity to see two of our in-house therapists if the trauma is so significant that they need somebody to help them process this. All of that is in our building at 120 Elm Street.
And the services you offer for the kids. You mentioned earlier you have a preschool.
We do. We have 19 kids right now, ages 18 months to 5 years old, that we're preparing to go to kindergarten. And the way they break those ages up into two groups, 18 months to 2 years old, and then 2 years old to 5 years old, they have their own separate classrooms. And it's one of the things I'm most proud of, because those little kids are the only people in our whole building that don't know they're homeless. And I'm just really proud that our staff are taking the time to help them get adjusted and to deal with the life that they've been living on the streets. In our emergency shelter, we have a room just for newborns. You can imagine that there are moms with newborns living on the streets. And so part of what we're hoping is that through our emergency shelter that we can get them into our long-term program, and then those kids that are under age 5, we can get into our preschool with the hopes that we can prepare them for kindergarten, which usually means they're going to the Monarch School, which is a fabulous school here in San Diego.
And you mentioned your emergency shelter. Now, if I'm not mistaken, too, that is the only nightly drop-in emergency shelter for women and children in the county?
That's great. That's correct. And we have 60 beds, and every night we're full. You can stay in our facility up to 30 nights, and then you have to leave. One of our goals is that you'll move from our emergency shelter to our women's center, Haven of Hope Center, which is 12 months. So we use that time during the emergency stay to assign you a client advocate, to learn your name, to how you ended up on the streets, what you want to do with your life, who your kids are, and to build that trust so that they'll want to be a part of the 12-month program and ultimately rehabilitate themselves so they don't ever have to go back on the streets.
And then you have transitional housing too, right?
We do. Our transitional housing has been a separate program for a long time. Here in the next couple of months, it's going to be connected to our residential program. So phase one will be emergency shelter. You come in the men's emergency shelter, which we'll need to launch, or the women's emergency shelter, which we currently have. That'll be phase one. Phase two, phase three will be residential. And then phase four will be your last 3 months with us. You'll be in transitional housing. Now, in order to get to transitional housing, you have to be sober, which we have zero tolerance for drugs and alcohol use. So if you've made it 9 months, you've either not used for 9 months or you're not getting caught. Mm-hmm. And it's not likely that you're going to go 9 months and not get caught, because right. You get breathalyzed every time you come back in the building, and we do random
drug tests.
That's right. So those last 3 months, we really want that to be about, we got you on a budget, you're working, you're saving money, like Lamont is. He's working every day. And you're saving money and getting to the place to where you can go out and get your own place first month, last month, and begin to pay rent again.
Now, Lamont, you're a graduate of the residential program, the men's residential program.
Yes, sir. That's correct. Yes, sir.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about your story?
Well, I'm originally from Los Angeles. My parents are from San Diego, and so that was my tie to San Diego. I would always come down to San Diego to visit relatives and the like. My grandmother took ill, which brought my mother to San Diego. My mother then took ill, which brought me to San Diego. After my mother's passing, that was a pretty challenging time in my life. And I got involved with drugs. And again, upon her passing, I found myself I made a couple of bad decisions and found myself in a homeless situation. That was a very crucial part of my life, but also necessary part of my life. That had to happen the way it happened for me to realize I needed help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just skate along. I was literally skating along through life, not realizing the help that I needed. I needed to have something happen. You know, you've heard it before, how you need to hit bottom. You need to bottom out. Right. And that's exactly what happened in my life. That happened. And as it stands today, I wouldn't change a thing. The rescue mission, along with my employer, which is my church, has allowed me, you know, working together has allowed me to find myself again, to realize I am somebody, and to help rebuild my confidence within myself, to build my relationships back with my children and my family. And, you know, that saying, I feel like the world is mine almost. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there now for me, and I'm so looking forward to seeing what the future holds. I have a great, great foundation with the rescue mission. I have been able to build a great support group, which is huge for me right now. And so with those things in place, and with the correct mindset, which I plan on holding on to for a good little while, but I see a bright future in front of me.
I love what he just shared there, that he sees so much opportunity out there for him. And to me, that's really what the program's about, is that when you get there, we tell you this is a chance of a lifetime. It's not costing you anything. We have 27,000 active donors, and everything you need to get well is here at the mission. It's an opportunity. Will you take advantage of it? So he's gone from taking advantage of the opportunity to now seeing life as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's transformation.
Yeah.
The other thing we tell him is that everybody's heard that saying. They think it's a Bible verse, that God helps those who help themselves. And the reality of it is that, and the biblical truth of it is that God helps everyone. But what we tell them day one is that people help those who help themselves. Nobody right. in San Diego is happy about the homeless problem. But if you're willing to help yourself, there's a whole community of people that will stand beside you and help you pursue those opportunities that you see out there in life. And Lamont's our poster child, man. He I'm just so proud of what he's done and how he's done it, and working through all of the ups and downs to get to the place to where he's now sees life differently.
So where would you be, do you think? Where would you be without the rescue mission?
That's a pretty scary thought for me to even think about. Upon my mother's passing, I didn't care. I honestly didn't care if I was here anymore. Mm-hmm. I was just on a very fast pace down when the rescue mission and presented itself and that opportunity. I don't know where I would be. I honestly don't know where I would be today. It's just been amazing. I can't even put into words my mental makeup right now. It's amazing. I'm running across people every single day who are in the midst of or who have had similar challenges as myself. And I feel encouraged. I feel responsible. Not responsible, but almost like this is what I'm supposed to do. I went through what I went through to be able to encourage this young mm-hmm. man, this young woman, this young adult, this older gentleman, whomever it might be. Everything I went through, I feel like it's preparing me for what some of my future is.
So it's been life-changing.
It's been all that's not
an understatement.
That's
right?
An understatement.
Yeah.
Life-changing is a big understatement. So.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left, and I know you have an event coming up in the near future, Sleepless San Diego.
We do. It's an event that was around long before I got there. I've been at the mission for 2 years, took over for Herb Johnson, who did a phenomenal job running the mission for 12 years. This was his idea. First time I heard it, having come from 27 years of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and done a lot of our own events, really resonated with me that this is a fabulous concept, that we're going to take junior high and high school kids and let them stay the night outside with cardboard boxes and give them the opportunity to experience just a little bit what it's like to spend the night outside and to live on the streets. Now, we have programming, lots of bands and comedians and musicians and people that will give testimony to what their experience has been living on the streets, because a part of what we want to do is really challenge that generation that someday you're going to have the opportunity to make a difference, and here's what homelessness is really all about. And that event is on September 7th. We do it down at Liberty Station. In-N-Out's going to be feeding us all dinner that night, so we're excited about their partnership and sponsorship. We'd love to have you, anybody that's listening, come be a part of that event. September 7th at Liberty Station.
So anybody can
come. Anybody can come. And if they, particularly, you know, parents with little kids, junior high and high school youth groups, come and stay the night with us, and let's have a great time and do some good, raising some awareness for homelessness in San Diego.
So it's raising awareness. Is there a cost as well?
There is not a cost.
No
it's,
cost.
It's free. We have a number of sponsors that that pay for the event,
and make it
it's a little bit of a fundraiser for us, but we don't charge the participants to come and spend the night with us.
Again, you don't get any government funding. Do you have any fundraising events throughout the year to help raise funds?
We do. On November 14th, we'll have our second annual golf challenge. It's at Avier Golf Club, and this will be kind of a fun event for us. We started last year and had it pretty close to sold out, and even our first year, because of the number of donors that we have. And I think they really got excited about playing golf and supporting the mission. So second year, November 14th, Avier, and you can find some information about that on our website.
And volunteer opportunities. What kind of opportunities do you offer?
Just so thankful for the volunteers that help us do what we do. We have 98 paid staff. If I had no volunteers, I'd need about 400 paid staff. So the number of volunteers that come in weekly, really, we have a couple hundred volunteers that just show up for our outreach meals at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. Every day there's somebody at the mission that's volunteering their time, whether it's in the preschool or the women's center or over in the men's center, or some we have volunteers that come and serve meals. We have volunteers at every one of our meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that are there just encouraging our clients and helping us do what we do. I have a volunteer coordinator named Debbie Krakauer. If anybody's interested in volunteering at the San Diego Rescue Mission, send me an email or send Debbie an email. You can find all of our emails online at www.sdrescue.org. And we'd love to get you involved and have you down and help us do what we do.
Any special requirements to become a volunteer?
There really isn't. It's not any spiritual requirements, not any financial requirements. It's anybody has a heart for the homeless.
Okay. So all the information on how to become a volunteer is at your website. And the website address again?
www.sdrescue.org.
And are you on social media?
We are. Good question. What those are.
Okay.
Do not tell my marketing director. I hope she doesn't hear this interview. Okay. I apologize. You can find all that out online.
All right. Donnie and Lamont, thank you so much for being on the show today. Lamont, thanks for sharing your story. Continued success to you.
Thank you.
And Donnie, thanks for all you do for the community at the San Diego Rescue Mission.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate that.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guests will be from the Chicano Federation of San Diego County. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.